Okay, so yesterday we started to discuss the halachic perspective of the use of excessive force. If a person was able, which is a very big question, to use more minimal force to achieve the necessary ends of neutralizing a rodef, let's say by incapacitating their ability to move, tasing them, shooting them in the leg, and thereby saving, the nirdaf, and didn't do so. So Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul paskins the Gemara in Sanhedrin daf ayin dalad neharag alav, that apparently is a capital crime. It's a chiyuv misa, it appears to be that we paskin in accordance with his view. Now the Gemara continues on to try to discuss some of the inyane mamon. Again, in a normal case of a chiyuv misa, we have a kimle de rabba mine. We don't have another mesu mishalim, but there is a very important exception based on psukim and mishpatim that we looked at yesterday. V'chiyun atzu anashiv v'nagfu isha harav yatzu yiladeh anosh yeanesh, right? V'im ason yiyav nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. And we can summarize that exception, Sariel, by what's the halachic phrase which is used to justify Misa and Tashlumin. Excellent. So as long as we have two different parties, right? Misa lezeh v'tashlumin la'acher, Misa lezeh, Tashlumin lezeh. In this case, the Baal Ha'isha, right, who's paid the Demei Vlados, so then we understand how it would theoretically be possible. The question is, how does that apply back into Rodef, especially given the fact that Rodef isn't a natural case of Misas Bezdin. It's actually the opposite of Misas Bezdin. It's extra judicial. And it requires, intervention on the part of civilians, of citizens, of bystanders, right? That's the whole connection to losamod al dam reyecha. That's the natural connection point. Anybody who's in a position to do something can and must do something. So let's try to go through the various scenarios and iterations. So let's say, starting with the easiest one, the nirdaf. So when it comes to the nirdaf himself, right, the nirdaf is allowed to save himself by killing the rodef, so the Gemara draws a kal v'chomer. It's the kal v'chomer. Sorry, I'll stay with you. Or says if he could kill the nirdaf, if he could kill the rodef, then surely he's allowed to destroy the assets of the rodef for purposes of saving himself. Right. That should be obvious. But im shiber kelav shalacher, if he trampled somebody else's, we were using the example of Mrs. Schreiber's rosebuds to try to save himself, chayav l'shalim, not that he did the wrong thing, but that's part of the principle of matzil atzmo b'mamon chavero chayav l'shalim. So that's as far as the near death is concerned. Now let's talk about the matzil. Meikar hadin, the matzil should be chayav for any monetary damage that he causes. But Ariel, what was the halacha? I see that you listened to the shiurim. You raised your hands. Did the right thing.
Wasn't that he'd be high for killing him.
We're talking about a third party matzil. The third party matzil, the halacha dictates Eitan? Right. The world as it is, as I said yesterday, and not the world as we wish it was, in adamatzil nafsho shel chavero, if we're going to be mamid on ikar hadin, because it's very, very clear that people will, think twice, and even hesitation in this regard can be fatal, right? Because even if a person will come to the cheshbon, I'm willing to pay for whatever the landscaping costs are going to be, that hesitation itself can prove absolutely lethal. So that's a takana derabanan. Right, Hefker Besed Hefker, Besin can do what they want, Nani Mamados, especially when it comes to protecting Dine Nefashos. Okay, and that itself is a very significant point. Now we come to the most complicated case of all, which is the Rodef. Right? We would think that Rodef was a classical example of what Sariel was talking about, right? Let's say, Misa Lazev, Sashlumin Lazev. Right, to the extent that you want to say that there's a chi of Misa, we have to put that in quotation marks because it's not a real chi of Misa. He hasn't committed any crimes just yet. But nitzan latzilo benafsho, if we're calling that in a broader sense a chi of Misa, so we would have assumed that if the rodef in his pursuit of the nirdaf had broken people's, you know, kalim and the like, he for sure would be chayav tashlumin, right? Because the chi of misa has nothing to do with the person's kli that he broke, or does it? So Sariel the Meiri said something very profound, that the reason that we're going to say that the rodef is actually pater, this is an irony, ah, so it's the same party, right? It's not misa lezev, tashlum and lezeh, it's misa v'tashlum and lezeh, because at the moment when he broke that kli, had that man, you know, the kli owner, it's a back alley and he's chasing some nirduf, you know, it's a chase, so had the owner of the kli, let's say somebody keeps his bicycle out behind his house, you know, whatever, in his, you know, his back lot, and they're running through the back lot, and the bicycle gets destroyed, right, had he popped his head out of the window at that exact moment when the bicycle was getting destroyed, right, he'd be mechuyav to try to do something to stop the rodef, including, if necessary, killing him. So that's the contribution of the Meiri to the discussion. The Meiri says it doesn't fit into the paradigm of mishpatim, of the Baal Ha'isha. It's rather an integrated case of Misa v'tashlumin b'vasachas le'echad. Okay, so we saw. The Rambam was obviously profoundly surprising. Who wants to summarize the Rambam for us? Then we'll put it back on the record. KD, even though Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul says, Nitan Latzelu Be'echad Me'evara V'harago Neharag Alav, what does the Rambam say? Okay, let's enter it into the record. This is the fifth source. Right, so the Rambam, enigmatically, because the Gemara has nothing of the sort, the Gemara simply says, Neharag Alav. So, you know, what exactly the Rambam's Makor is, what his source for the idea is, you know, very, very, very challenging. If you only had the Sugya Nayin Dalet, you know, you might have to throw up your hands. There is a really interesting indication in the Rambam as to what the Mechayiv is. The Rambam adds in words that we've seen, actually, in the context of the Sugya more broadly, but not in the context of Ner Agalav. What are those words? Avi? Yeah, clearly those are the words. What does that remind you of? Where do we see Mitrach Tarach, Megar Agure? When we were expanding from, right, from Vahashevo Solo to Lo Samad Al Dam Reacha. So clearly, what the Rambam is appealing to is this idea that a person is mechuyav to be matriach himself. In this case, to be matriach himself would mean to use a more limited force. Now, here you can immediately imagine a kula. What do I mean by that? What would the burden of evidence be, even for the Rambam, who says it's not a chi of misas bezdin, but I'm just trying to set us up for a deeper analysis. Says it's not really misas bezdin, bezdin in bezdin misan or so, they're not going to implement it anyway, but if we're talking about what the Kesef Mishnah calls a chi of misa bidei shamayim, what standard, what threshold do you have to cross, right? If you're the, you know, the prosecutor and you want to demonstrate that this person is really chayv misa bidei shamayim, what do you have to demonstrate? You have to demonstrate two independent criterion about this individual. Shimon? Excellent. Yachol, he really had the capacity, right? You have to say, look, you know, I hereby, you know, judge, Bezdin Shalmala, Melech Malchei Hamlachem, Shofet Kol Aretz, I hereby present his schools, his scores in sniper school, you know, at Quantico, Virginia, where the Marine Sniper School is located. He finished at the top of his class. You know, he was able to, you know, they have very high standards there, right? At the, you know, 400 meters, shoot, you know, a moving rabbit, you know, between the ears. You know, we believe that he could have gotten the leg and not between the eyes, okay? So he's a yachol that we've discussed. What else, Shimon? It's not sufficient if you want to, you know, indict him. You can't just cross one threshold. It's not sufficient to say that he was yachol, but what do you have to demonstrate?
Oh, the way he had, like, what he needed?
Say it sharper, general.
That was his intent.
David? That he made no effort to do so. The Rambam seems to impose, this is a really interesting test, right? This is what they call a legal test. So to say that he's chayav misa b'dei shamayim, he has to demonstrate a lack of effort. Now that's a very hard thing to prove. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could figure that out. You'll appreciate why a little bit later on, why I'm emphasizing this point so much. So the Rambam says, right, this person could have been Matriach himself. He was able, therefore he's Chayav Misa Bidei Shemaim, if you want to take the Kesef Mishnah's reading of the Rambam. Simply put, the Rambam says the words of Ein Bezdin Mamisa Noso, despite the fact that he's Chayav Misa, because he could have done it, and he had the technical ability to do so, and his failure was a failure of effort. Velo Tarach. He didn't make the effort to do so. He took, so to speak, the easy way out, which involved using lethal force. So what would a case be? And just in terms of, if I had to come up with a case, we should always be able to come up with a practical case. So let's say, again, this is a little bit far-fetched, but just for purposes of establishing what I mean. So let's say, the Rodev is chasing the Nirdaf through Shimon's property, and Shimon, has concerns about home defense. So not only does he, keep a number of shotguns at home, he's actually mined his lawn, okay? So that there are landmines underneath, he has them on remote control. He can simply detonate them, from his phone, like an IED, okay? And obviously those are lethal. They can pierce, armored trucks and the like. And, the Ross home is very well defended in case you were considering a break-in. So the Rodef is chasing the Nirdaf, and Shimon's watching on his drone, because he does keep a drone circling overhead, obviously, so the drone's taking photos. And, right, it would be a bit of a tircha for him, to, let's say, have one of his associates that he keeps posted locally show up with a gun and shoot the Rodef in the leg. And he chooses instead to take the easy way out, because, he's in the middle of Seder, he doesn't want to be Mevatel, and he's got his phone anyway, and he just detonates the landmine, exploding the Rodef on the spot, incinerating him. So we would be able to say, it's demonstrable. Look, he chose to use an easier method of neutralizing the Rodef through extreme force, the detonation of an anti-personnel landmine on his property. And he had the capacity to neutralize the Rodef. We know that he, has a number of commandos that he has stationed on the property. All he would have had to do was to get them to come outside, etc. Okay, so the Rambam imposes a dual standard, which is very, very significant, that you have to be a yachol, and you have to demonstrate some lo tarach, some clear inaction, that we can actually determine. We can measure this and say, yeah, this person really took the easy way out. And both of those are important standards. Yeah, please.
If it would actually be more difficult for him to kill the person, it would be easier to, let's say, shoot him alive, like maybe if you're putting out gas to make the person fall unconscious, would Basin be able to kill him in that case? Because it wouldn't be a low tara.
But you're saying, what was the? But then he went ahead and killed him anyway. He worked harder to kill him, right? So then it would be for the Rambam, it would be a kal v'chomer. As long as, again, he's in that case, right? He has to have a known ability to have done so through some other means. That's
so would have been able to kill him in that case.
Oh, for the Rambam, yeah, no. So the Rambam seems good. The Rambam seems categorically to believe that Bezdin is not going to get involved in executing a capital punishment against a matzil. Okay? That's very important. Now let's get to why. So the Kesef Mishnah said, what were the actual words of the Kesef Mishnah? Okay, who wants to put it onto the record? I know you guys all saw it yesterday, but those who did the Hachana, but the Kesef Mishnah, let's put it on the record. Sorry, go ahead. Okay, so obviously to your point, let's try to assess what the Kesef Mishnah means. There are two very different ways of taking this Kesef Mishnah, and it bears very directly upon Avi's question. Okay, what is the Kesef Mishnah saying? Avi, why don't you do the analysis? Well, it could be X or Y. One is pragmatic, one is more fundamental. That the reason that Beis Din can't move forward is a sine qua non for Beis Din to implement Misa is Eidim v'Hasra. You could certainly have witnesses, but you can't really have Hasra here for one of two reasons. It's not clear which one the Kesef Mishnah is saying. Excellent. So this is what we call the technical approach, and it could very well be that the Kesef Mishnah meant this. More likely than not, this is what he meant, is that people don't think to give somebody a hasra when they see them trying to do a mitzvah. You see somebody who tries to be Mechalel Shabbos, or somebody who's going to be, you know, Mechalel Hashem, to give the two examples, you know, in Chamisha Chomshei Torah, so it makes a lot of sense that somebody's going to give that person a warning, right? David, and say, if you do this on Shad in front of witnesses, don't you know that you're going to be Chayev Skila, Mishum Kotzer, Mishum... Right, ma'amer, whatever it is, okay, and the same thing in terms of birkas Hashem. That if you're mevarichas, I know you're very frustrated right now that they didn't give you a home in Machane Dan. But if you're mevarichas Hashem right now, that'll be nisur skila. Okay, very good. As the pasuk says, v'nokev shem Hashem bos yuma, to give him the right pasuk. And he says, al menas kein aniosa. Right, he's hiter atzmo lemisa. But who would possibly think? That's the Kesef Mishnah saying. According to Avi, lo shayach be hasra. So Avi, according to that approach, right, it would probably be true in your case as well. What's the other way of reading the Kesef Mishnah? That it's not so much a technical issue, but lo shayach be hasra. Good. Why is hasra what I call, he's not a bar hasra? It's a din in the gavra. He's not a gavra that's omed la hasra, Emmanuel. Okay, so again, those are going to get back to technical issues. That's what Avi said. But who can make a fundamental argument that Hasra isn't shayach to what he's doing, even though he could act sinfully? There's no question. Ariel?
He's the type of person that's going to kill him instead of like trying to save him if he has the ability to. Like, he's not going to be the type of person to like listen to a warning that someone tries to give him.
Well, you never know. You could say the same thing about Chilul Shabbos or Avodah Zarah, Birkas Hashem. Right, that these people are, you know, undeterrable, but still we see Beis Din is a hasra, okay, lahavchin min shogeg l'mezid. So what's the Eitan? Oh, that the act itself is defined as a maisa hatzala. Remember we talked about the Yerushalmi and Trumos, and I talked about my perspective a little bit different than Rabbi Bleich about a plane with 300 innocent people on it. I don't deny it, but that in my view, you can actually relate to that entire plane as basically a missile, which is driven by a rodef. At that point, you no longer have to be miyaches yourself to each and every individual on the plane. It's a maitza hatzala. So the question is, a person is about to be mechal Shabbos, a person is about to do gneva, a person is about to do birkas Hashem, they're about to do a maitza avera, and they have to be what we call in halacha matir atzman lemisa. They have to be mekabel de hasra. It's insufficient for them to, let's say, nod their head, to be marked in as rosham. What do they have to do? They have to do almenas kein aniosa, that I am doing it the way that we paskin, it's machlokas in the gemara, the way that we paskin say, I am doing it with the complete knowledge that this is the associated onesh, the associated penalty, almenas kein aniosa. That is what, right, that is what I came here to do. Okay? So not a religiously admirable person, but at least, you know, the person is living out their own very troubling convictions, to be sure. So in the context of a Maisa Hatzala, what Eitan is saying is that it's not shayach for Hasra. Hasra has to be on a Maisa Avera. And this person's action is defined as a Maisa Hatzala, which could be the pshat for the Rambam. But the Rambam says, Ein bezdin mamisin oso, according to the Kesef Mishnah, lo shayach be hasra isn't a technical issue, is because they see him as involved in a maisa hatzala. Did he behave very sinfully? He absolutely did. He's a shofech damim. and he's mechuyev misa. But Beis Din's not going to implement it because Beis Din only deals with averos. And here, the avera is too closely linked with the maisa hatzala. And by the way, you know, there's some sense to it. We were talking, Katie and I were talking a little bit yesterday about the Drash HaSaran, right? You know, even if you want to say that Beis Din's responsibility is to bring Shefa Eloki into the world, as opposed to, you know, the Melech, there's no question that in terms of Misas Beis Din, you know, Misas Beis Din exists, as the Torah says, V'arta hara mikirbecha. Right? It's a little hard to argue that Beis Din has a great social interest in putting to death people who are overzealous in administering excessive force, right? Do we really have such a great social interest? Somebody was trying to kill somebody else. We're so socially motivated to put people to death who use excessive force in terminating them. We don't want to condone it. It's not morally or halakhically acceptable that the person did that. They are a murderer. But does Beis Din really have to assume responsibility for bringing this person to justice? There's a strong fundamental argument to make that that's not the case, right? So those are two ways of looking at it. So Avi, getting back to your case, my view is that Mima Nafshach, the Rambam, would not think that there's Misas Beis Din, either for technical reasons, because who would think to give that person a Hasra, or as I prefer, you know, this idea that it's a maisa hatzal, and a maisa hatzal is not shayach for hasra. So even if a person, you know, sort of went, you know, the extra mile and, you know, set up, to go back to my example, you know, Shimon, you know, crawled on the ground and set up a landmine so he could detonate the guy instead of just, you know, tripping him or knocking him over or something, which would have been easy enough, you know. So I don't think Beis Din has a great, you know, first of all, I don't think Beis Din has the right, according to the Rambam, to put him to death, because Hasra is in Shayach to a Maisa Hatzala, and we still fundamentally look at it that way, and B, I would say that there isn't a great social interest. So the Shitas of Rambam is a fascinating one, but it's opposed vigorously by whom, Katie? The Rush. And we know this from the Rush, and we know it from the Tour himself, so why don't we put the Rush and the Tour onto the record? Okay, so we'll get to Avner and Yoav in a second, the tour. Okay, so I'd like to draw your attention to, you know, the citation. This is why I always tell you guys, you have to always go back to the text, whether it's a Mishnah, whether it's a Gemara, whether it's a Rambam. What words here are not included in the presentation of the Rambam? I'm going to make an argument that this is very significant. I already started. Right. It just says, velo asa. That's not what the Rambam says. Velo tarach. And that's actually different. Right. So the Tur, right, very much along his father's line of halachic thought, says, right. So he says he doesn't understand that this person is Nerag. Nerag Alav, frankly, sounds more than just Chayav Misa, that of course we're going to put him to death. So why would Beis Din shirk their responsibility? He doesn't understand. So the Rush and the Tur are totally mystified by Shitas HaRambam. Now we've already started using the Kesef Misha to provide a kind of an explanation, either pragmatic or fundamental, based on this idea of Hasra. As you no doubt have already realized, I think the answer goes really much, much, much deeper than that. And so let's begin to unpack it. So who wants to review for us, just on the background here, the story of, you know, Yoav and Avner, the backstory, and, you know, how this relates to Asael and cases of Rodef and Itam Natzila Becha Mevarv. Okay, Shimon Ross, go ahead. Oh, I thought you were raising your hand. I don't want to. Okay. Okay, so yeah, Eitan, you want to just give us the bet. So what's the background here?
Asael was chasing Yoav, who is... he's chasing Avner.
Well, first of all, just make sure everybody's on the same page, you know. Not everybody went to Ben Porat Yosef over here.
So...
8 years ago when I first started giving this shiur, so... I came to the realization that not everybody came in not having necessarily learned Sefer Shmuel. It was a shock at the time, but I've recovered. One of the Talmidim actually went on to make a Siyum Tanakh the next year. I inspired him. He said, Chazal say you have to be Mu'utar b'chav da'al etzvarim. He said, Chazal said that? I said, yeah. He says, well, in that case, for sure I'll do it. Just needed to get to him through Torah Shabbal Peh. Okay, so go ahead. So what's the... Who's Avner? Who's Yoav? What's...
Avner was the commander for Shaul, and then he became commander for Mephibosheth and Ishbosheth. And then Yoav was commander for
David. Right, and it's also his nephew, right? So Yoav and Tsruya. Tsruya is David's sister. And Avner is really the power behind the throne, right? Ishbosheth is kind of a weak individual, and they have this falling out, right? So what happened there? Ishbosheth makes a dastardly accusation against Avner. It seems like it's true, by the way, but...
He took Shaul's
Rizpah Vataya, who later comes to prominence in the story of the Kivonim. So that's going to become important later. But during the 7.5-year period, you know, between the death of Shaul and the ascent of David to Malchus in Yerushalayim, national Malchus, so there's this long period of a civil war, which is basically conducted between Avner and Yoav. And on one very tragic day, there's a suggestion which is made. Avner and Yoav have their forces arrayed. Yakumu noha ne'orim v'yisachaku lefanenu, which does not sound like fun. There's a group picked from both sides, and everybody dies, and then there's an actual battle, and Yoav's forces rout Avner and his forces. Now, then the battle escalates even further with, as you mentioned, Asael, who's also David's nephew, the three brothers, Yoav, Avishai, and Asael, B'nei Tsruya. So Asael gets this idea that he's going to kill Avner, right? And he starts chasing after him. And we mentioned yesterday that part of what makes this story so fascinating is the fact that Asael is like a Jamar Chase level acceleration. So he's chasing Avner riding a horse and closing ground on him, which is, you know, kind of amazing. Okay, so then what happens? There's this discussion between Avner and Asael.
Like, turn around or I'm going to kill you.
And said, like, please stop. This was not meant to escalate this far. And Asael is... He's locked in. And so then what ends up happening?
He hits his fifth rib.
He hits him in the fifth rib. How does he do it? Right, so he takes his spear without even, like, stopping, right? And he does a reverse stab maneuver. And he gets him exactly in this lethal spot, right? At full, like, bumping up and down on his horse, and Asael going at, full speed. It's an amazing kill shot. Right, it's the ancient equivalent of being like, what they call in the U.S. Army Rangers, a master sniper. So, presumably, what might we say about Avner?
He couldn't really do anything else because, he did that accidentally.
So you think it was an accident, that he hit him just in the fifth rib? He was able to just get him there. Right. Okay. This is a plausible deniability. So, on the other hand, what might one say? Shimon?
Asael was a Rodev, so
Right, so he deemed Asael clearly was a Rodev. So you figure, nitam latzilo benafsho, right? And maybe, right, he wasn't so interested in yachol latzilo beachad meivarav, right? At that point, he thought, you know, I might as well kill him. I tried to negotiate with him. He wouldn't stop, etc. But you would assume, Shimon, reasonably, that he had the technical capacity to do so, right? If he can aim that well. Okay, so he's a yachol. So the question is, what exactly is the standard? Would it necessarily have been more difficult for him to, let's say, get Asael in the leg or in some other non-lethal part of the body? Emmanuel?
At the same time, even though he was definitely yachol, if he wanted to kill him, why did he use like the blunt end of his sword and go for that, like that difficult maneuver, as opposed to just killing him normally, like stabbing him in the head?
Well, I mean, like, he would have had to turn around. So much more dangerous, exposing himself to danger. This was like a surprise shot. Asael was probably waiting for him to, like, dismount from his horse. Again, I'm not, like, you know, the greatest expert on jousting in the world, but I would think that, like, you know, he achieved the maximum lethality against his enemy by incurring the minimum amount of risk, right? Because he's just riding away. So to go like that, right, if you're able to pull that off, right, is like, you know, a very high-level maneuver, I would think. Okay. Good. So we're gonna come back to that. Then, okay, so what's the final chapter in the story? So after the Ritzpah Baraya incident, so Avner defects over to David. And he has this meeting with David in Chevron, and on the way out, take it away, Eitan.
Avner bends down to, like, do something with his shoe, and then Yoav kills him.
Right. So Yoav lures Avner. I mentioned yesterday that the Gemara says that he lured him by asking him a halachic question about chalitza. It's a very sneaky move, you know, about removing of the shoe. And then he popped up as Avner bent over to examine what exactly he was doing with the shoe. And he killed Avner in cold blood. Now, of course, everybody suspected that who was responsible. Right. Everybody assumed that David was, you know, had put out a hit on Avner because he had killed his nephew, Asael, and the whole thing was a ruse, right? There's a case a number of years ago where Saddam Hussein, his sons-in-law defected to Jordan. And in one of the more irrational acts in world history, he told them that if they came back with his daughters, that everything would be forgiven. Which somehow they believed. Well, let's just say it didn't work out. They came back. Saddam Hussein repatriated his daughters and had them executed. You know, in one of the more, I would say, unsurprising policy decisions of his dictatorship. So, you know, people assumed, oh, David lured Avner into this defection so that he could have Yoav kill him, right? And so the Navi says, which the Gemara in Sanhedrin deals with it, that David was Yotzei Me'achar Hamita, and he was crying, and he was maspid him so that everybody would recognize and everybody would realize, you know, what had happened, that this was Yoav's doing. So we know that when David is passing away, he tells Shlomo, he gives him sort of a list of things to take care of. This is not exactly just a regular shopping list. So what's one of the items on the list, Ariel?
Kill Yoav.
Right. So Yoav has to go down, and that he should not go down peacefully. V'horadato es sevaso bedam sheol. So he's not the only one, right? Who else is on the list? Shimi ben Geira, I think you mean. Yeah, Shimi. Barzilai Giladi, Livnei Barzilai Giladi Tasa Chesed. It wasn't only the hit list, as we call it. There was also the Chesed list, right? Sometimes, you know, Like when they find, you know, they go into killers' homes and they find that there's a list of people. They never say that there's a chesed list also. You know, it's always one-sided, right? You have to question the media there. You know, maybe there's a list of people that are supposed to get care packages every week. Who knows? So Shlomo, the Gemara picks up on that note. Shlomo calls in Yoav for an interrogation. Okay, so here we go. This is the Gemara in Memtes Amud Aleph. So this is the interrogation scene between Shlomo and Yoav. Now again, he's got a couple of different charges to work through here. The first person that Yoav killed was Avner. Then he went on and killed anybody who the second very righteous person that he killed was?
Amasa ben
Yeter, who was set to replace him as the chief of staff of David's army. And then the third person that he killed, who David had specifically told him not to kill, I'll give you a hint, by placing three darts in the man's heart. Yeah, right. So, you know, there was a long list to work through when it came to Yoav. That's why I think it's always a shame when they don't teach, you know, Navi in junior high school. It's like, well, what else would be more interesting than this? It's like these stories, right? You know, if you're in a co-ed school, the girls are crying halfway through Sefer Shoftim. You know, the boys are like, how much more can we get? He did what with the Malchai Canaan? Okay, so the Gemara says, Katie, go ahead. Asu Eli Yoav. So Shlomo brings in Yoav for questioning. Right, he doesn't even get his lawyer. He just says, well, I was the Goel Hadam. What do you expect me to do? So Shlomo says, well, what are you talking about, Goel Hadam? You're not the Goel Hadam. Asael was a Rodev. He was Chayiv Misa. Nitan Latzilo Ben Avsho. Asael ignored multiple warnings that Avner gave him. He was a Rodev. He deserved to die. So Yoav says, what are you talking about? I hold like Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shaul, that if it's Nitan Latzilo Becha Me'evarav, Velo, right? Asa, or the Rambam would say, Velo Tarach, right, Vaharago, so Neragalav. So what do you mean? What are you talking about? Don't we paskin like Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shaul? This is a very lumdisha discourse. Okay. So like Eitan Berenholz. So Shlomo says to Yoav, what are you talking about? Why do you assume that he had the capacity to, you know, neutralize him without using lethal force. Mechatesi, that he had the capacity. So Yoav says, what are you talking about? This just gets better and better. So Amr Le Hashta. So what's he saying? If he was able to aim for this lethal spot at the juncture of the liver and the gallbladder with the rear end of his spear at full speed, so you're telling me he couldn't have, you know, kneecapped him? So Yoav says, I don't believe it. I believe in Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shaul. I believe that Neragalav. That Avner was Chayav Misa, and I'm the Goel Hadam. Me or Avishai, we drew straws. He wanted it. Okay. So Shlomo responds to him, Nezel Avner, which Rashi takes to mean. So it sounds like Shlomo Paskins, according to Rashi. Not everybody agrees with this reading, we'll see. But that Shlomo Paskins, okay, you're innocent of this. Let's move on to the next charge. Let's go through Amasa, go through Absalom. Don't worry, you know, Yoav gets what's coming to him. And even a little Bikias, it's the day of Torah Bowl, who ends up putting Yoav to death? Well, he was an important Tana. Yehuda ben Beseira, the Gemara Pesachim talks about him, you know, that he was benitzivin umetzudascha prusal Yerushalayim. Remember, he got the non-Jew who was eating the carbon Pesach. You're saying he also got Yoav. Nice. Okay, Ari? Binayahu ben Yehoyada. Way to go. You went to the Pleasant Yeshiva? Yeshiva Noam? Okay, where'd you graduate? R-Y, can you please, R-Y-N-J, we are Y-N-J, come on. What about the R? We are Y-N-J. Okay, way to go. Nicely done. All right, so, to tell Rabbi Price next time I see it. B'nayahu ben Yehoyada. That's exactly right. So, say B'nayahu ben Yehoyada, according to the Gemara, the first Agadat and Brachos, right? He was the Nasi, the Av Bezdin of the Sanhedrin. Right. Okay, Vayigzol Asachanis Miad HaMitzri. Important person, B'nayahu ben Yehoyada. Okay, so in any event, so it sounds like we paskin like Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul. Oh, but wait a second. Is this really the case? Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul? Is it really analogous? You're telling me that Avner was Chayav Misa? What's the obvious flaw in Yoav's argumentation? General? Excellent. Yonasan ben Shaul said, Rodev, right, Shaya Rodev, Achar Chaver Lohargo, that was a presumably a case. Well, let's read it inside. You know, I don't want to put my thumb on the scale. You guys tell me. That's how I read it anyway. General, go ahead. So, Ayin Dalem and Aleph towards the top. Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul, the Tanya, Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul, Omer, Rodev, Shei, Rodev, HaChaver, Lohargo. Oh, okay. So, what should we assume the case is? Sariel? Right, you would assume it's a third party. If you're the one that's being chased, even if you have, you know, as Avner apparently did, the technical ability, you think the halacha really demands that if somebody's trying to kill you, the halacha absolutely demands that you don't use lethal force? Whatever ever happened to a habal hargacha hashkem v'hargo? Don't you have the right to do whatever you want? Here I want to get back to the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't make it only about Yachol, but we keep on being medayik to be matriach. Is it a reasonable expectation that a person has to be matriach himself when his life is on the line? I'm asking you a serious question. If somebody is coming after another person to kill them, even if that person has a very high level of training and the person kills the person, you know, the intruder, the invader, you're telling me that the halacha then says, but, you know, you could have been matriach yourself a little bit and only shot him in the leg. That's a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim, when your life was at stake. I understand the third party who was fully capable, who wasn't in danger themselves. I could understand somebody not taking this point of view. We'll see that Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul Shita is not muskam lakol. But I understand it. The Nirdaf himself? That seems like a very big chiddush. To me, it seems like a very big chiddush. So if you take a look at Rashi, we read this quickly yesterday, and I said we'd come back to it because I think it's very important. Rashi, l'shitaso, has a very, very important lashon. So Abayi Amar. You said that's where you could go. The Yachal Hamatzil. Rabbi Yonatan ben Shalhi, the Yachal. Wow. So Rashi says, Mefurash. What's Shitas Rashi, Micah? To whom does it apply? Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul's din? The Shitas Rashi. Not saying that Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul holds this way. Rashi says here, which parties does it apply to? Katie? Oh, it's not just the third party Matzil, right? Haroehu, but the Nirdaf. That's what I'm saying. It's Rashi Lashitaso, because what does Rashi say on Memtes? Right? Rashi says, okay, I guess you're Pater. Because he was really Chayev Misa. That to me is an amazingly high standard to hold somebody to. Okay. Is everybody clear on that? Rashi, Lishitaso, Memtes, Ayindala, Manala? Okay. So let's get back to the Rambam. The Rambam actually weighs in on this point in one other place. I want to at least cover the Rambam and the Ravid, and then give you guys some time to repair the Kesef Mishnah, and it follows. Yeah, sorry, Al. Rashi on Ayin Dalet says that not only a third party, but the Nirdef himself can only use proportional force. If he uses excessive force, Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul says he's Chayav Misa, even though it was his life on the line. I find that to be an incredibly high standard. That's why on Memtes, Rashi, who refers to the Gemara, says that, yeah, okay, Yoav, you're Pater for killing Avner. You are a legitimate Goel Hadam because Avner, you know, is a murderer. It's true, Asael was Rodef him, but it was a perfect case. And Nitan Latzila Be'achar Me'evarav. Im Yachol Echavein, you know, Bein Kaved Lamara, you know, Be'achar Me'evarav, Enu Yachol Echavein. It's bizarre, right? Okay. So that, I think, is a critical point. I'm not taking a stand for now on the Rambam. I want to hold that for a moment. Let's take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. This is a very famous passage. And, KD, you raised it the other day. Ariel, if you don't mind. The Rambam puts in three cases, one with the other. It's a very important grouping. So the what are the three cases where we say that something is a capital crime punishable by death for Ben Noach? Masha'in can be Yisrael, which we assume, again, we spent a lot of time on this sugya last year in terms of Hapalas Ubarim with the Dobbs decision and abortion, but what does it appear that Shitas HaRambam is? Masha'in can be Yisrael means that these are all cases of... but the Jew is what? A Jew is guilty of... Is it not murder for a Jew? I mean, what do we know? Because we haven't seen Ubar recently, but we just saw the case of Rodev. How does the Rambam Paskin? You're Chayav Misa. Of course you are. He's a Shofech Davim Chayav Misa. So Mashenkin B'Yisrael means what? Ariel? Right, that the Ein Bez Din Misa no So, that these are all cases of murder. This is Shitas HaRambam by abortion, right? That he really thinks it's an issue of murder. Not everybody agrees to that. The Balei Tosfos don't seem to agree to that. The Ran, you know, everything we discussed last year, right? But the point is, whether it's an Ubar B'mei Imo, whether it's somebody who was going to die anyway, a Trefa, or Grumma, Kafto and his son Alifnei Ari, or Shenicho B'Rav Ad Shemes, right? You tie a person who's not, you know, a tzaddik, like Daniel, and can expect a miracle to happen, so you throw somebody into a lion's den, right? This is usually not going to end well, right? These are all cases where Ben Noach, since he was Mamis, he's Narag. And in all of these cases, for a variety of different reasons, Bezdin Shel Yisrael is not going to be Mamis him, right? That's the psak of the Rambam. Masha ain't can be Yisrael, whether it's Ubar, whether it's Trefa, whether it's excessive force, whether it's Grama, Kafto Lifnei Ari, Hinicho Berav, all of these cases, Ein Bezdin Mamisin Oso. So the Ravid says something totally enigmatic. Ariel, go ahead. Amar Avram. Kashya Le Avner. Kashya Le Avner. Avner is a kashya for him. Never have three words in the Ravid been analyzed as extensively as these three words. What he's even saying, what he even holds. Does anybody want to take, Eitan will enjoy this pun, a stab at it? Kashya Le Avner. Avi? It's a good stab at it. If the Rambam, would you feel particularly bothered by this kasha? Would it keep you up at night? Would you think, oh man, the Ravid's a bigger Talmud Chacham than I am? Exactly right. Why not?
For one, it wasn't based on...
Oh! What does Shua like to say? Shua taught me an expression. He said, you asked, he delivered. Nice. Okay. The Shua told me that. Okay. Right. So, yeah. Kasha Le'av, if that's really what the Ravid meant, so what kind of kasha is that on the Rambam? Bezdin didn't. The whole thing is about Misa's Bezdin. Bezdin, last time we checked, didn't put Avner to death. Yoav killed him. And frankly, we don't even know how the Rambam feels about that. Did Yoav act properly? Right? All the Gemara says, right, in the context, you know, of that discussion is Nezel Avner, which Rashi takes to mean, oh, it's a Ptur, you know. It was legitimate what you did. It could be that Shlomo just dropped the case. And he said, okay, it's a debatable point, whatever. We'll move on. We have other issues to get to. Amasa Avshalom. So Kashule Avner. That could very well be. Avi, you did very well. So then as the Kasha in theory could be, you know, if it's really true that this person isn't Chayiv Misa B'dina Yisrael, you know, why was Avner's death exonerated by Shlomo, right? And the response would be either it wasn't exonerated by Shlomo, or even it was exonerated by Shlomo is because it wasn't an act of Misa's Bezdin. So now let's go back to one part of the Gemara that I want to give Sariel the last word and give you guys at least a chance to see the Kesef Mishnah in advance of tomorrow because it's a complicated source. So just allow me to circle back for 1 second, Sariel, and then we'll you want to? Yeah, go ahead.
Israel, the whole din of maybe saying that you have to meet someone to go or maybe Abner was allowed to kill Asael.
I have to think about that a little more. I think the wording is still difficult for that. V'cheinim ha'agrodev she'achal atzil
be'achamim
rav.
More likely true.
Yeah. Okay. So let's take a look at that. Because right? Avi wants to make the argument there wasn't a ma'isa bazdin. So why did the Rambam care about it? Says, yeah, it's fine. Yoav killed him, but it wasn't like bazdin approved of that. Or Bezin did it themselves. So now we have to see the last piece of that Gemara in Sanhedrin. This is Mem Tes Vayateu Yoav Oso Chashar Ledaber Ito Bisheli. So go ahead, Avi. Amr of Yochanan. So Amr Lei, my time I could tell to Asael, why did you kill my brother? So Avner said, Asael. And then apparently, boom, then came the bang. So what interests me? Why did I hold off on this section of the Gemara, apropos your excellent comments, Avi? What's the part of this Gemara that might be a little problematic for the Rambam? Go ahead, Shimon.
The fact that Rabbi Yochanan
says that it really was. Shedanu din Sanhedri, that Yoav handled this in accordance with the way that a Bezdin would handle it. Which makes it sound like even though Yoav got to him first, you know, maybe if the Bezdin, you know, was they just weren't ready to press charges yet. They were still investigating the case. They were interviewing the witnesses. So maybe that is part of the kashalei. In which case, maybe the Rambam is going to have to lose a little bit of sleep. Emmanuel. Remember, that was Ramban.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that was Ramban. But didn't we say that really the Rambam?
No, I was trying to say that the Rambam just says that they were Chayiv Misa.
Oh, yeah.
Mishum Dinim. But he doesn't say that Shimon and Levi did the right thing. So there's a big difference between the two.
Thing that
okay, so you're saying that you could be Chayiv Misa doesn't mean that Yoav did the right thing. Possible, right. Okay, let me take two more. General. Right, doesn't make him the best in, okay, so that's another, you know, point of distinction. It's a little, you know, bothersome that it says, you know, din Sanhedri, because it makes it sound like in an analogous situation, the best in really would do this, okay, but fair enough. Okay, Eitan?
Can it also be that Yisrael took from Ben Noach because they have to have the Torah and to do...
Ah, okay, so we're going to come back to this point, but do you want to just explain a little bit what you mean?
Yeah, because Yoav...
Okay.
So, it could be different.
Right, so we know that Avner, it seems like he's a yachal. He's a person that could have in practice, and then the fact that he didn't was like a choice that he made not to exert himself. And what Eitan is saying is something that I've been trying to emphasize here, is, but he actually was matriach himself in the process not to have to do this. He tried to stop him on numerous occasions. Okay. So again, you'd have to come back to some like reading of Mem Tes of Nazel Avner. That means the Rambam is just going to say, fine, Shlomo, we'll just move past it. But I think that's very important. So we have a number of different issues. Rashi is convinced that the halach applies equally to the Ro'ehu and the Nirdaf. For the Rambam, I think this is an open question. The Rambam introduces the factor of Tircha. Mashein can be Yisrael, seems like it's only Misa's Bezdin. The Ravid's Kashale Avner, it's a little bit of a strange question because, you know, Yoav is in the Bezdin, but in the Ravid's defense, you do have the Gemara Memtes. Okay, so we've laid the groundwork. What I just want people to do, I'm sorry, I really wish I wanted to give you more time, but there's a lot. a lot that's involved here, is we could just take at least a look at the Kesef Mishnah, and let's see what's realistic. The Kesef Mishnah, and I'll try to give you some time at the beginning tomorrow, because I don't know what's realistic. You guys are all going to be, everybody's going to be here tomorrow, right? It's like a normal day. Okay. All right, so I'll give you some time at the beginning tomorrow as well, because I want to, you know, these are very complicated arguments. So at least try to see the Kesef Mishnah now, and then we'll take like a few minutes, maybe 15 minutes at the beginning of Shir tomorrow.